Presidente da Comissão de Orçamento e Finanças, bom dia, Sr. Comissário Europeu Alguirtas Semetas. Queria dar as boas-vindas a todos. Estamos aqui para esta audiência com o Sr. Comissário Europeu responsável pelas áreas da fiscalidade e União Aduaneira, auditoria e luta contra a fraude. Esta audição insere-se nas audições que, com outros comissários, outros membros da Comissão Europeia, a Comissão de Assuntos Europeus tem promovido, aproveitando, neste caso, a deslocação a Portugal do Sr. Comissário Alguirtas Semeta. É uma audição que é promovida conjuntamente com a Comissão de Orçamento e Finanças, uma vez que se trata de matérias da competência material dessa Comissão. Queria dar as boas-vindas ao Sr. Comissário, dizer que estas matérias têm-nos interessado, as matérias da fiscalidade, enfim, temos acompanhado também a negociação das perspectivas financeiras, do quadro financeiro plurianual, e por isso estamos interessados naquilo que têm para nos dizer. Haverá primeiro uma intervenção inicial, seguida de umas rondas de questões, de perguntas, a cargo dos diversos grupos parlamentares representados. Eu, sem mais, passo desde já a palavra ao Sr. Presidente da Comissão de Orçamento e Finanças.
Bom dia a todos, muito obrigado Sr. Presidente, caros colegas, Sr. Comissário, é com muito gosto que contactamos novamente com o Sr. Comissário responsável pela área da fiscalidade. O Parlamento Português e a Comissão de Orçamento e Finanças em particular têm acompanhado com particular atenção daquilo que é a dimensão de criação de um novo quadro de recursos europeu. E temos promovido uma participação intensa no semestre europeu e nos mecanismos de acompanhamento e de trabalho em conjunto entre os Parlamentos Nacionais e o Parlamento Europeu. As propostas cujo ponto de situação nos trará hoje estão muito no centro daquilo que é o verdadeiro cumprimento dos tratados, isto é, dotar a União de um conjunto de recursos próprios. A questão da fiscalidade e a justiça na repartição dos sacrifícios em função da definição de prioridade de políticas está no centro, quer do debate europeu, quer do debate nacional, que estamos a iniciar neste momento em matéria orçamental e, por isso, não podia ser mais oportuna aqui a presença do Sr. Comissário.
Muito obrigado. Para uma exposição inicial, tem então a palavra o Sr. Comissário Alguirtas Semetas.
Dear Presidents, honorable members of the Parliament, ladies and gentlemen, this crisis that we are going through is the biggest economic crisis since 1929. The European Union has reacted to this crisis by promoting fiscal discipline in member states with the creation of the European semester. We also worked on the stability of financial markets by creating financial backstops, proposing a supervisory role of the European Central Bank, and launching the European Stability Mechanism that was formally adopted last week. In addition, and as a necessary companion to fiscal discipline, we put forward the EU 2020 strategy and the Growth Compact to promote growth and jobs. Today, the economic environment is still weak, but we now have the tools and governance rules to ensure that the EU as a whole engages on the path to recovery and growth. In this context, we must look at how tax policy can contribute to the consolidation and smart growth agenda of the EU, and how coordination between member states can ease this endeavor. I believe that the answer is twofold. First, we need to push for appropriate tax reforms in member states. If all of them reviewed their tax system with a view to promoting smarter taxation, it would result in a better business environment and fairer taxation systems across the entire EU. Second, member states should speed up the adoption of the initiatives proposed by the Commission and continue to progress on strengthening the single market. The single market is the best asset for growth and jobs in Europe. It should be a reality also from the tax perspective. Let me start with a few words on our experience so far with taxation in the European semester. We are currently launching the third cycle of this renewed economic policy coordination exercise. In the field of tax policy, we have been promoting the concept of quality of revenues. In our view, member states should give priority to taxes which have a less detrimental effect on sustainable growth. Last June, we issued specific recommendations to nearly all member states grouped around five specific objectives: shifting tax away from labor, broadening tax bases, reducing housing and debt bias, increasing environmental taxation, and improving tax governance. Since then, most member states have undergone major tax reforms. Given that consolidation on the scale that is currently needed can't be achieved through spending cuts alone, many of these reforms resulted in tax increases. Nonetheless, it is now widely recognized that the quality of the revenue matters as much as its quantity. And looking at the national tax reforms proposed so far, it is fair to say that they generally follow the recommendations in terms of minimizing possible negative impacts on growth and fairness. So, what's next? To put it quite simply, efforts have to be sustained. Reforming the tax system cannot be done overnight. It is a process. If we want to be successful, we need to be consistent and stick to our priorities. The five objectives for quality of taxation, which I just mentioned, remain fully valid. They should continue to guide the forthcoming reforms adopted in a way that meets specific national needs. In addition to continuing with this approach, this year's European semester will focus on two additional elements: competitiveness and fairness. For competitiveness, we know that job creation is fundamental. Therefore, the shift to more growth-friendly taxes is particularly important at a time where we need to use every possible measure to boost employment. For example, our latest analysis of member states' tax reforms shows that a third of them could do more to shift taxes away from labor towards consumption, environment, or property taxes. They should seize this time of reform to do so. It is also time to put the emphasis on fairness. The public acceptability of tax reforms depends greatly on how fair they are perceived to be. I will speak in a minute about what we are doing at EU level to this end. But at national level, more efforts to address fraud and evasion will certainly contribute to fairer burden sharing for honest taxpayers. An additional challenge in the area of tax administration is also to reduce the tax compliance costs. The current pressure on public finances could be turned into an opportunity for increasing the efficiency and effectiveness of the public administration. In these difficult times, we need to get value for money, less expensive, and more resilient administration. A lot is to be done at national level, and taxation reforms should benefit more from the e-government programs in member states. Given that I am here in Lisbon today, let me say a word or two on Portugal in the context of all the issues I have just outlined. For Portugal, the European Council's only recommendation in 2012 was to implement the measures laid down in the joint EU-IMF program. I understand that, as in many other member states, the budget presented by the government on Monday entails increased taxation in order to meet the agreed budgetary objectives. Portugal faces extraordinary consolidation requirements which call for extraordinary measures. However, the opportunity to move towards a more growth-friendly, more competitive and fairer tax system should not be missed in the reforms. For example, Portugal could probably put more emphasis on developing green taxation and phasing out harmful environmental subsidies. And with a shadow economy which is significantly larger than the EU average, Portugal stands to gain a lot if it improves tax compliance and better combats tax evasion. In this context, I understand that recent progress has been done in the field of VAT by developing a central IT database. The main responsibility for tax reforms lies with the member states. However, with our extremely interconnected economies, working in isolation doesn't pay off. There is immense added value to tax coordination at EU level. This can support national reforms and complement the actions of each country by, for example, tackling cross-border bottlenecks and simplifying the tax environment for businesses. This leads me to the second point I would like to raise today. For our common recovery, we must create a more business-friendly environment, one in which companies can expand beyond their national markets and are not hindered by a patchwork of divergent national approaches to taxation. Improving the business tax environment is a central issue for competitiveness of the EU. Investors need stability, legal certainty, less administrative burden, and less compliance costs. That is why I proposed a common consolidated corporate tax base to offer cross-border businesses cheaper and easier access to the single market, one tax rule book instead of 27, and contacts with one tax administration instead of 27. I also proposed a review of the directive on taxation of energy products. It would introduce a formula putting all fuels on an equal footing, taxing them on the basis of their energy content and CO2 emissions. This should avoid double taxation for businesses subject to the emission trading system and encourage development of green economy. My contacts with businesses also confirm that one key element for a business-friendly environment is to cut red tape, decrease compliance costs, and improve business cash flow. The variety and complexity of taxation is a major obstacle in doing business in the single market. We have taken all this into account in the VAT reform, which I presented at the end of last year. Certain important measures have already been delivered. For example, we set up the EU VAT Forum this summer, where businesses and tax authorities can meet and discuss improvements in the way VAT works. This will hopefully help to address the frustrating burden that businesses experience when faced with divergent administrative practices across the member states. New EU invoicing rules, applicable as of 1 January 2013, will also make a big difference to the lives of businesses, both large and small. They will establish equal treatment between paper and electronic invoices, facilitating the uptake of e-invoicing. And they will enable all member states to authorize cash accounting for microbusinesses, which will make a huge difference to many SMEs in terms of cash flow. In other words, we are making sure that VAT rules do not leave the smallest businesses out of pocket or struggling to make ends meet. The Commission will continue on this road by presenting, in the course of 2013, a proposal for standardizing the VAT return. Fairness is also an issue which we fully take into consideration in our initiatives at EU level. Our European social model is about combining economic dynamism with social fairness, and taxation plays a part in this model. The essence of fairness lies in member states being able to collect the taxes that are due and all taxpayers paying their legitimate share. I have briefly mentioned that member states need to increase their efforts to tackle fraud and evasion at home. Likewise, more European coordination could substantially improve our fight against this problem. Tax evasion and avoidance deprive member states of up to 1 trillion euro every year. This not only means the loss of much-needed revenue, it also undermines fairness. Those who do pay their taxes must pay more to compensate for the evaders. And competition between tax-compliant businesses and their non-compliant counterparts becomes distorted. If we could recapture this 1 trillion euro of evaded taxes, we would be in a very different economic situation than we are in today. With this in mind, the Commission is working on an action plan to fight against tax fraud and tax evasion, which I will present in December. Among the concrete actions I would expect to see prioritized are the adoption by the Member States of the Savings Taxation Directive and related agreement with Switzerland, reinforced tools against tax havens and aggressive tax planning, and a VAT system which is better protected against and equipped to cope with fraud schemes. I can't finish on this topic without mentioning a fundamentally fair tax which the Commission proposed last year and which currently is the source of much attention. The financial transaction tax is the epitome of fair taxation. We all know that Member States and the EU intervened massively to rescue the financial sector. Meanwhile, this same sector carries a proportionately lower tax burden than other sectors in our society. The FTT will redress the balance and ensure that the financial sector makes a fair contribution to public finances. In addition to this, it will deliver significant new revenues that could be channeled into growth-promoting measures for the benefit of all. Portugal was among the first member states to sign up for enhanced cooperation on the FTT. I congratulate you on that. I believe that you will benefit greatly from being part of the group which implements this tax. We now have a sufficient number of member states to allow us to move on to the next step in facilitating enhanced cooperation. The Commission will deliver a proposal to this end next week, meeting the demands for quick progress which come from both the willing member states and our citizens. To conclude, taxation has a major role to play in ensuring smart consolidation and sustainable growth in the EU. Our goal must be to make the single market the best place in the world to do business, to become a benchmark for competitive and efficient tax systems. For European semester is a tool, the European semester is the tool for ensuring constructive dialogue with and between our member states on such matters. But for the semester process to work and enjoy full legitimacy, it should be well integrated in the national debate. National parliaments have to be very active in leading these discussions so as to ensure democratic endorsement. On our side, we remain fully ready to engage, exchange, and debate with you. Honourable members, our heads of state and government are currently convening in Brussels to debate the deepening of the economic and monetary union. Taxation cannot be avoided in this debate. Member states can and must retain their sovereignty on tax matters, This is essential for them to meet their specific national needs. But there must be a recognition, too, that the day of isolated tax policy is over. Coming closer together as a union on tax matters does not threaten member states' sovereignty. On the contrary, it reinforces their position at home to take the necessary measures for efficient, growth-friendly, and fair taxation. It helps our businesses and attracts investment by improving the single market. And it strengthens our common position when addressing international challenges and spreading the principle of fair taxation abroad. I therefore strongly believe that for taxation, as for other policy areas, the answer to our current challenges lies in more Europe, not less. Let's move in that direction. Thank you.
Muito obrigado, Sr. Comissário, por esta exposição inicial. É evidente que se trata de temas de grande atualidade e que estão até a ser bastante discutidos no debate político português e mesmo na sociedade portuguesa, não em ligação designadamente com a proposta de novo Orçamento de Estado, não só a questão do nível geral de fiscalidade, mas também a questão do imposto sobre transações financeiras, a questão, por exemplo, da introdução de um sistema de cobrança de IVA com o recibo, com a entrada em caixa, pelo menos para algumas empresas até um certo nível, mais pequenas. Enfim, portanto, trata-se de temas muito atuais que nos têm preocupado. Eu queria agradecer a exposição e vamos agora iniciar um período de debate em que teremos perguntas com resposta individualizada. Eu só quero pedir, sem fixar nenhum limite de tempo, só quero pedir aos senhores deputados que sejam breves, uma vez que, como sabem, temos realmente uma restrição de tempo. Começaremos com o Partido Socialista. Senhor deputado António Serrano, tem a palavra.
Muito obrigado, senhores presidentes. Queria, em primeiro lugar, cumprimentar o senhor comissário, em nome do Partido Socialista, desejar-lhe as boas-vindas. É também para nós uma honra tê-lo aqui connosco, é uma oportunidade para que os Parlamentos Nacionais possam acompanhar melhor as diligências que vão sendo feitas no âmbito das várias instituições europeias, num momento em que a Europa atravessa uma profunda crise, que é económica, que é social, que é política, sendo que alguns Estados-membros estão numa situação de grande dificuldade, entre as quais Portugal, no âmbito de um processo de resgate, um processo de ajustamento acentuado que estamos a fazer do ponto de vista orçamental e onde a política fiscal, naturalmente, é um vetor fundamental em todo este processo de ajustamento. As preocupações que o Sr. Comissário nos trouxe aqui são preocupações de que nós comungamos e que, naturalmente, têm a ver com as questões de equidade, com as questões do combate à evasão fiscal, com as questões do combate à fraude, com a necessidade de aprofundar a harmonização fiscal entre os Estados-membros, do aprofundamento de reformas fiscais em cada Estado-membro. Aquilo que nós gostaríamos de ver por parte da Comissão ser mais aprofundada é de que forma é que a política fiscal pode permitir que os Estados-membros que estão em processo de ajustamento pode permitir uma conciliação de todos os objetivos e não matar, digamos, o processo. O nosso entendimento é que em muitos Estados se está a atingir um ponto de fadiga fiscal, tendo sido já ultrapassada até, e em que ela própria compromete os objetivos de ajustamento e orçamental e, naturalmente, com consequências graves do ponto de vista social. Estamos perante uma situação que entendemos que a Europa tem um papel determinante, não só na promoção de um processo justo que permita uma recuperação das contas públicas e do pagamento das respectivas dívidas soberanas, mas fundamentalmente que permita reforçar o combate ao desemprego, promovendo políticas orientadas para o crescimento económico e para o emprego. E gostaríamos de ver a Comissão mais empenhada neste processo e, portanto, eu deixaria uma pergunta ao Sr. Comissário, se no seio da Comissão está a ser tratada esta questão, olhando para o mundo, olhando para a Europa, olhando para tudo o que se está a passar à nossa volta e permitir que realmente a Europa e estes países em dificuldade possam cumprir aquilo que têm que cumprir, mas garantir a sua recuperação económica e social dentro de prazos razoáveis. Muito obrigado.
Muito obrigado, Sr. Deputado. Para responder, passo a palavra ao Sr. Comissário Semetas.
Well, thank you very much for this question. And, well, of course, it's important that our member states implement the necessary reforms. And I see that this process is ongoing in the member states. And during the past 2 or 3 years, in many, many member states, very deep and complex reforms have taken place. And the Commission welcomes those reforms. But of course, we can do more also at EU level. And first thing what we need, and I think this is a fundamental issue, to agree on proposals which are already tabled on the table of the Council, and proposal on FTT. I think now we have 11 member states who want to go ahead with enhanced cooperation, could really make its contribution towards more fairness in taxation system, and will provide substantive revenues to participating member states. So, but it's important that it is adopted. Proposal on a common consolidated corporate tax base, which is also on the table of the Council, could ease the problems, administrative burdens for businesses in Europe. So it's a European approach which would establish a single rule book in corporate taxation for all businesses in the European Union. Many reforms are taking place in the area of VAT, and these new rules, some new rules will enter into force already from the beginning of next year. And I know that Portugal intends to use these new rules to introduce cash accounting principle for SMEs in dealing with VAT matters. I believe that this is a very strong improvement in terms of cash flow for businesses, particularly small businesses, which suffer usually for late payments from large enterprises, and so that initiative will really help. And of course, issues of tax fraud and tax evasion, they are essential now. And here we also we have on the table of the Council the proposal to amend EU Savings Directive and to negotiate with Switzerland much broader agreement, which would allow to close loopholes in the existing Savings Directive. And unfortunately, this directive is still blocked by 2 member states, by Austria and Luxembourg. And I continuously advocate those member states, but I think it's very important that all other member states which agree with the directive, that they make pressure on those 2 member states And I think that national parliaments, they also could play a very, very important role in this exercise, because here we are talking not about small amount of money. We are talking about billions of euros, which could come back to the national budgets if we are able to agree on the proposal of the Commission. We also will make proposals how to deal with tax havens. First of all, we intend to present the definition of tax havens as such, because one of the problems we have that we do not have definition of tax haven in the European Union. But we also will present measures how we can deal with this phenomena in coordinated way in the EU. And of course, if we do it in coordination, we will be much stronger than dealing alone. These are actually the measures which are either already tabled or are in the pipeline. I believe that we are doing what is possible at EU level in terms of initiatives. What we need also from our member states, their endorsement of those initiatives and their support to those initiatives, because we all know that taxation initiatives, they require unanimity in the Council. It means that each member state has to agree with the proposal of the Commission, and if this unanimity is reached on proposals which I mentioned, that will significantly improve the situation in tax matters in the EU.
Obrigado, Sr. Comissário. Passamos ao PSD. Sr. Deputado António Rodrigues tem a palavra.
Muito obrigado, Sr. Presidente. Sr. Comissário, renovo-lhe o prazer que é contar com a sua presença e esta oportunidade podemos refletir sobre estas matérias, matérias que são extraordinariamente sensíveis para o país, para o conjunto dos Estados-membros e para a União no seu conjunto. São sensíveis, aliás, de tal forma que raramente as propostas são aprovadas por unanimidade, porque se mexe com a soberania dos Estados, se mexe com o poder dos Estados e se mexe com a oportunidade que os Estados têm de poder controlar aquilo que é mais fundamental para a sua subsistência, que são as receitas. As questões que lhe queria colocar têm basicamente a ver com a sua área de atividade no que diz respeito quer às medidas que são tomadas para o controle da corrupção e da fraude que existe, nomeadamente entre as transações entre Estados e principalmente numa área onde julgo que a União tem muito a fazer, que é o controle da União enquanto o seu todo relativamente às transações no domínio do comércio internacional. Sente-se que a União, porventura, podia obter muito mais receitas se tivesse uma política uniforme e homogénea, quer no domínio da tributação da importação de bens, quer particularmente se houvesse uma uniformidade de, ou uma reciprocidade, melhor, de tributação nas importações e exportações para os vários países na Europa. Isso por um lado. A um segundo nível, referiu os seus esforços e todos os esforços que forem feitos nestas áreas, nomeadamente no sentido de trazer os Estados para a uniformização, serão bem-vindos, o que não se afigura uma tarefa simples, mas principalmente questioná-lo se entende que os Estados estão a colaborar com a Comissão nestas áreas, colaborar no sentido precisamente de encontrar uma política conjunta relativamente a estas matérias e, por outro lado, se entende que os países, como por exemplo Portugal, que referiu, têm efetuado os esforços suficientemente significativos para além até daquilo que são as suas obrigações internacionais no quadro do Acordo de Assistência Técnico-Financeira que está obrigado. Muito obrigado.
Muito obrigado. Passo também de novo a palavra ao Sr. Comissário para a resposta.
So I fully agree that we need additional efforts to fight against tax fraud and evasion. And as I mentioned in my introduction, this is really a top priority for the Commission. And our President Barroso, he mentioned this in his State of the Union address as as a really topical topic for the Commission, and that is why we are currently working very hard in preparation of the proposals, which will come in December, so in 2 months' time from the Commission, and there the issues of fraud will be addressed very seriously. We have an intention to look at the possibility to extend the code of conduct on business taxation, which we think doesn't cover the full variety of possible frauds in EU member states. We negotiate possible application of the principles of this code in Switzerland and Liechtenstein, and we are progressing quite well in those negotiations, and probably quite soon we'll have results from those negotiations, which will also help to improve situation with the corporate taxation and reduce possibilities for aggressive tax planning for our corporations. So that is what we have. Regarding the global activity, I have to say that it's a policy of the Commission to include good tax governance principles in all our bilateral agreements with third countries. And good governance principles, they mean transparency, exchange of information, and fair tax competition. And in any negotiations with third countries, those principles are embedded into agreements with the third countries. And then these countries, they take responsibility to respect these principles. Your point regarding taxation on imports, well, this is probably a more tricky point because we have our obligations in WTO, and any specific treatment of imports could be treated as a violation or protectionist measure by the EU. By the way, I just came to Portugal from India when I discussed with our Indian counterparts their tax system and urged them to eliminate certain provisions which could discriminate EU businesses in India. So I don't think that with the introduction of some specific additional specific taxes on imports that we could make progress. I think that what we have to do, we have to negotiate with third countries in order to push them for eliminating their protectionist measures and boost with this our exports, including also exports of Portugal, which is growing impressively. But if the trade will be even more free, so this the exports could grow even faster than it is now.
Muito obrigado, Sr. Comissário. Passamos agora ao CDS-PP. Tenho duas intervenções. Primeiro, Sr. Deputado Serpa Oliva.
Muito obrigado, Sr. Presidente. Cumprimentar os Srs. Presidentes, Sras. E Srs. Deputados, Sr. Comissário Europeu Alzidres Semeta, seja bem-vindo. Em nome da democracia cristã, que aqui representamos através do CDS Partido Popular, dar-lhe as boas-vindas e os maiores êxitos na continuação da sua atividade a nível da Comissão Europeia. Porque o tempo é escasso, e atendendo a isso mesmo, e porque sei que a senhora deputada da Comissão de Economia e Finanças, Vera Rodrigues, teria também várias questões a pôr, como também o senhor deputado Rui Barreto, eu limito-me a saudá-lo em nome, e se o senhor presidente me permitir, passaria a palavra.
Senhor deputado Rui Barreto, tem a palavra.
Muito obrigado, Sr. Presidente, Sr. Presidente também da Comissão de Finanças, Sr. Comissário Europeu. Eu queria colocar três questões muito objetivas porque o tempo também é escasso. A primeira tem a ver com o imposto sobre as transações financeiras, a sua importância, mas também a sua execuabilidade também tem a ver com a transversalidade dos países que a adotarem. E, portanto, a primeira questão que eu gostaria de colocar tem a ver precisamente com isto e perguntar-lhe se a União Europeia tem os meios para implementar este imposto quando países como a China, os Estados Unidos, ou mesmo países europeus como o Reino Unido, a Suécia e a Finlândia se opõem à sua aplicação. Depois, há uma segunda questão que eu gostaria de colocar. Temos conhecimento que há uma diretiva comunitária que deverá ser adaptada aos Estados nacionais e que tem a ver precisamente com o encontro de contas fiscal, ou seja, compensação e dação de obrigações fiscais. Ou seja, as empresas que são credoras do Estado poderem compensar os créditos fiscais com as obrigações futuras. Isto é uma questão particularmente importante. Como sabe, o Sr. Comissário, Portugal está num programa de assistência financeira, tem algumas limitações no financiamento e esta diretiva adaptada ao Estado português criava a possibilidade de maior liquidez no mercado financeiro e poder as empresas, no relacionamento que têm com a administração pública, compensar as obrigações, os créditos que têm com o Estado, com obrigações futuras. E isso dava a possibilidade de maior liquidez. Queria saber se há uma orientação ou se essa diretiva, neste momento, já está passível de adaptação nos Estados europeus. Uma terceira questão muito objetiva tem a ver com o Centro Internacional de Negócios, que é uma zona de baixa tributação que existe na região autónoma da Madeira, uma região do país, e que consubstancia uma zona de baixa tributação fiscal. O Sr. Comissário falou da harmonização fiscal, falou também nos paraísos e de uma certa regulação no sentido de normalizar estas zonas de baixa tributação. Como o Sr. Comissário sabe, a zona Franca da Madeira, ou o Centro Internacional de Negócios da Madeira, melhor dizendo, é uma zona de baixa tributação que está sob autorização da União Europeia, com fiscalidade do Banco, com supervisão do Banco de Portugal e de instâncias comunitárias. E, portanto, não está na lista negra dos paraísos fiscais, é um centro regulado, equiparado a outros que existem em Estados europeus. Só com uma pequena diferença, é que goza de um regime de auxílios de Estado e está enquadrado nos estatutos dos benefícios fiscais. Como sabe, o Estado português reapresentou, no início deste ano, esse processo na Comissão Europeia para renegociar os benefícios fiscais ao Centro Internacional de Negócios da Madeira. Gostaria que o Sr. Comissário pudesse-nos esclarecer em que ponto é que essa renegociação pode estar ou se, tendo em conta as orientações futuras, o caminho que a União Europeia quer trilhar, como é que se pode harmonizar com a existência desta zona de baixa tributação. E queria agradecer a sua presença. Muito obrigado, Sr. Comissário.
Muito obrigado. Porque estamos limitados no tempo, eu percebi que ainda havia do CDS-PP, a senhora deputada Vera Rodrigues, tinha questões. Não, então passo desde já a palavra ao senhor comissário Semetas para responder. Muito obrigado.
So probably I will start with the second question regarding Madeira and unfortunately today I cannot comment much. I am fully aware that Portugal applied for some changes in the regime in Madeira, and these changes, they are subject for review from the state aid point of view, which is the responsibility of my colleague, Vice President Almunia, and his services, they are working on this assessment, and there is a standard practice in the Commission that before the assessment is not finished, we do not comment on it. So please be patient and wait a bit, and when the assessment will be finalized, of course, we will present full information and full comments of the decision. Then your second question regarding FTT, if I understood correctly, you raised the question about the risks of relocation of transactions to other jurisdictions, like United Kingdom, which do not intend to participate in enhanced cooperation, or United States. So, of course, when we developed the design of the FTT, we have taken into account that in any case this would be a regional approach. We continue to push for global solution, and once again, when I was visiting India, I discussed with Indian finance minister the possible support of India to this tax. By the way, it's very interesting that India has a financial transaction tax, and very similar to the proposal which is currently on the table. And I asked Minister, does he feel any problems with it? And his answer was very clear. No, they do not face any problems with relocation of transactions. So it encourages me again that the financial transaction tax could really work in the limited group of countries. And for mitigating the risks or even eliminating the risks of relocation, we set up a very modern design of the tax using the tax residence principle for defining the taxpayer. And with the use of this principle, actually it doesn't matter where a transaction takes place. If the taxpayer has an economic link with the member state, participating member state, the tax will be due to that member state. So it means that only if the bank or other financial institution will move not only as institution, but also will move their all clients outside the participating member states, only then tax will be not applicable. And this is not possible, because simply clients physically, they will not move from the European Union. On the other hand, we are considering now also in our work for within the framework of enhanced cooperation, even strengthen this provision, and analyze possibility to put also issuance principle in combination to residence principle in order to strengthen the provisions which would not allow to relocate transactions. So my understanding, and I am fully confident that with the adoption of the FTT by the group of countries, be it 11, be it more, that will provide sufficient revenues to member states, and the risks which are raised by some opponents of the tax, they do not have any grounds to materialize.
Muito obrigado, Sr. Comissário. Temos ainda algum tempo para eventuais outras questões, embora não possamos prolongar muito esta reunião por causa de conflitos com o tempo do plenário. Pergunto se alguém pretende ainda suscitar alguma questão. A resposta será conjunta, caso seja o caso. Para já não tenho inscrições. Pergunto, não há mais questões. Sr. Comissário, quero agradecer-lhe a sua exposição, quero agradecer-lhe as respostas às questões. Estes são temas que estão, o tema da fiscalidade, que preocupam bastante a sociedade portuguesa neste momento. Como se sabe, no quadro do nosso programa de ajustamento, nesta fase, enfim, tem havido um certo ênfase, um grande enfoque na área da fiscalidade. Alguns dos pontos foram aqui referidos, e também o imposto sobre as transações financeiras, o sistema de IVA de caixa. Eu queria assegurar-lhe que continuaremos a acompanhar a atividade da Comissão nesta área e agradecer-lhe novamente esta presença. Muito obrigado. Enfim, encerramos aqui os nossos trabalhos. Muito obrigado.